Conversation with Uaisí Fógarty on Radio Kerry.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme. Uaisí Fógarty, as usual, with you until 7 o'clock. And as this is the first In Conversation programme of the new year, I'd like to wish all our listeners a happy, a holy and a prosperous new year, and more importantly, a healthy new year to everybody out there, because as the fella says, health is wealth. Well, I have a whole new line of In Conversation programmes lined up for the next 2 months. Don't miss it. Every Wednesday night, you'll have something different. Next Wednesday night, I'll be talking to men who's after making a CD about the 1916 Easter Rising, about all the men who were executed up there in Dublin, and he's after making a special CD. He'll be coming in talking next Wednesday night talking about that. But tonight we have something different, something very, very special and something unique. And what's it all about? Have a little listen to this.
I have written you verses for 95 score on hurling and football and fashions galore, of camogie and racing and sporting as well, from the far-famed Clonanna to lovely Clonmel. Sure, I'm finished with hurling, with football and togs. Now it's plain to be seen that I'm gone to the dogs, for I now take my pen with an unusual speed, but to write of the dog of the Rattleway Breed.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to the story of Dainty Man, the dog from the Rattleway Breed, and I can tell you we have a great story lined up. I have a big crowd coming in here in studio from my van tonight to talk about that. I'll be introducing all the men as we get along. But you will listen to Jerry Brosnan there, and a special song written about Dainty Man. And, of course, that came out in a CD that was launched lately up in my van. We'll be talking about that also. But first of all, Tom O'Connor is the son of Tom O'Connor, and his son is also with us tonight, and he's Tom O'Connor. Well, the other Tom didn't come in, but his two sons are with us, and they're all Tom O'Connors, and his dad was the owner of Dainty Man that won this fabulous cup way back in 1930. Tom, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Uaisí. Thank
Listen,
you.
It is great to have you here. This is a great story. Tom, give our listeners an idea of what we're going to be talking about.
Well, I'll put you right first anyway. The man that won the cup was my granduncle.
Your granduncle,
my
right?
My grandfather's brother.
Right.
And he was Tom O'Connor.
Yeah.
And known as Granny.
Granny. Yeah.
Known as Granny. No, he wasn't married, but his brother Con, which was my grandfather, had a son Tom as well. And I'm Tom. And as I said, I have a son Tom and a grandson Tom.
Yeah.
But the cup was won in Clonmel in 1930. And it was the Sawtelle Cup. Was presented by Henry Sawtelle to the Clonmel in Clonmel in 1925 to the Irish Coursing Club.
Yeah.
Now that cup was won in 1930. It was worth £100 or 100 guineas, the value of the cup, and 350 for the winner. So he won that, and
How was he allowed to keep the cup then, Tom?
Well, that's what after the 5 years it was given. We said the first Derby was ran in 1930, but before that there was a sweep that was run for 5 years.
Yeah.
But after the 1930, he was the first winner of the Derby.
Yeah.
So he was left keep that cup then.
Yeah. And what was so special about this dog and about this win?
Well, I suppose it was the people that trained him, the people that were involved with him at the time.
Yeah.
There was a Mick Mulvihill, known as the Waver Mulvihill. He was he trained the dog out in Sands's Mountain.
Yeah.
And as the man says, he was up early in the mornings training him, and he took him all over the country. Everywhere he went, the dog went with him. And he qualified by winning in Tarbert in the Abbey Field. He got the Clonmel.
Tom, you're after bringing in the cup. It's very heavy. It's a massive cup.
That cup now is a replica of the Webb Ellis Trophy, the Rugby World Cup.
And it's the exact replica of it?
It's the exact replica. Same weight. I actually weighed it this evening before I came in.
Yeah?
And it's the same weight because I got the information on the Webb Ellis Cup.
What weight is it?
4.5
kgs. And written down, the inscription is, the Salt Hill Cup presented by Henry Sawtill.
That's correct.
For the National Breeders' Stakes, County Tipperary's, 64
puppies.
64 puppies?
Yes.
Where does the 64 puppies come into it?
That's what was in the, there was 64 started off at the beginning of
the course. In the beginning of the coursing meeting, that's right, yeah. Powerstown Park, Clonmel, 1930,
yes.
Won by Dainty Men.
Yes.
The cup itself, as you say, Tom, at that time, how much was it worth?
100 guineas.
Yeah, and that was a lot of money, didn't it?
That was a lot of money.
The weight of it.
Yes. And 350 they got for the winner then that night, when they won it. But he turned down £500 for the dog that time. Yeah. He wouldn't sell the dog.
That was an awful lot of money.
A lot of money when he turned that down.
Yeah.
But as I said, they had some great times with the dog.
We'll be talking about him as we go along. Jerry Brassen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much.
Great for having you. We started off with the song there, Jerry. You were singing it.
Yes.
And that song, of course, is part and parcel of the CD that you brought out in my van lately. What was the name of the CD?
The Borough. Songs of the Borough.
Songs of the Borough.
Yes.
And that song we'll be hearing more of it later on.
Yes.
Your dad, the late, great Con Brosnan, who was the great Kerry footballer, he was also involved in some way with Dainty Men, wasn't he?
Well, he had a sister called Lively Nancy.
Yeah.
A sister of Dainty Men's.
Right.
And he was involved, and he was in the Free State Army at the same time. And he was told that he'd have to carry in the dog that time to Slips.
Yeah.
I saw... But he had to be there to carry in the dog to Slips.
Yeah. Have we any idea why was that, Jerry?
Well, it seems that he didn't go in the first dog and something happened with the slipper, that the dog slipped or something, and they got afraid when the right man didn't carry him in, that they'd have to put more power on.
Come here, you're my van man yourself, involved all your life. What has Dainty Men meant to my van over the years, Jerry? Renowned dog up there.
Well, she renowned, but what happened to him was that he was never heard any more after that.
Yeah?
Because the man that owned him kept him inside in the house, and the following year he didn't win any more races or anything.
Yeah?
Because he was too fond of him, and he never let him out, and he got from the smoke in the kitchen and everything, that he didn't see the hair, he ran unsighted after that.
Is that right? Would the smoke and the things like that affect the reality?
He was left inside the kitchen, and the smoke just hit him inside the kitchen. No man couldn't bear to be without him. He wasn't a married man or anything. He had sat in the dog, and he stayed with the dog.
Who wrote the song, by the way?
Well, we were saying that coming up to Paddy O'Connor, but we don't know where. He's wrote a few songs in the CDs as well.
Yeah.
But we hadn't any more about him.
Fair enough, yeah. But Robert Nolan, Robert, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah. Come here, what do you know about this famous dog? Tell us something.
I don't know a whole pile about him, really. I've heard so much about him.
Yeah?
I think my uncle Den Welch was involved too, Jerry.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah?
They were all kind of... Well, I suppose they were all involved with the dog. They all wanted to get part of him.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah?
Den was involved in Con Brosnan. Con and Den were, I'd say, were the main two.
Yes.
But I won't say the main two, but... They were involved very much with him.
Has greyhound racing been part and parcel of your life?
It has, yeah.
In a huge way?
Well, in a reasonable way.
Yeah.
I've been lucky.
Yeah.
Been lucky all along.
Yeah.
My uncle Dan Welch was always involved in dogs. Always.
Right.
I suppose I've been lucky. I've had a good few. I suppose I had no interest in the start.
Yeah.
But it's my brother actually that bought the first one.
Right.
He got drunk behind in Dingle.
Yeah. good an excuse as any for buying a dog.
He bought two pups.
Yeah.
And when he came home, he had no place to put them.
Yeah.
When he was sobered up the following day, he had no place to put the two pups, so he brought them to me.
Yeah.
And I brought him, and I gave him just two cubicles, and he put them into it. And lucky enough, mine turned out lucky. He's got hit with a car.
Yeah.
I hit him, and that was it. Mine turned out lucky. And I went on, I bought another one, but I bought two more. Off of the late Cormac O'Leary, you remember Cormac?
I remember Cormac Latimer, yeah.
And turned out okay again.
Tim Joshian, Tim, you're very welcome to the programme. Yeah. Yep. What does this cup up on the table mean to you? What memories does it bring back for you?
Well, quite a bit, really. For my brother was involved in dogs, and when I went to England, and I went to England in 61, and I didn't get back till 95, and he used to have a lot of dogs, but he took ill in 87, and I had five dogs at home, and I took them all over to England with me. They come over on the plane to Heathrow.
Yeah.
I took them all the way down to Ramsgate, and I had a great bit of fun with them, and I was interested in the song, of course, hearing Jerry singing it when I come home, and I just got into it like that. Like,
was greyhounds and dogs and racing part and parcel of your family from your father down?
It was indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
And my father was more of an athlete in his time, like he was.
Tell us something about your dad.
Well, he was chairman of the creamery there for a long time, and he was in the Kerry County Council for years.
What was his name?
Tom Sheehan.
Tom Sheehan, yeah. And when you said he was an athlete?
He was a great athlete, 100 yards. He used to cycle miles every Sunday morning and cycle about 20 miles, and he'd have them come home with two shilling piece then for the win, like.
Is that right? Did he win Kerry championships and things like
he
that?
He didn't win anything that, no, it was only all sports, local sports, like.
Yeah. When you went to England then, you brought the dogs with you, you say?
Well, I took the dogs over in 87.
Yeah.
My brother took ill then, and he couldn't train them, look after them. And I took him down to Ramsgate in Kent, Jim Barry, who's from Navan, a lovely man, but he's dead now, a lot of mess in the poor man. But we had a great bit of fun with them, and I kept them there for years, and they all won races there.
Did they win? Anything?
But just local sweeps, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing like what the NT men won?
Oh, nothing like that, no, but we made a few bob out of them.
Tom Joe Connor is alongside you there. Tom, they tell me you call Galtine, is that right?
Celine,
pull in there to the mic. Celine, pull in there to the mic. You're great to have your team. Where does the name Celine come from?
Celine Pier.
Yeah?
Where the boats must come in there and they must bring in Schlag into the quay.
Here, you had great success with Greyhounds. Give us an idea of what you won.
It's an honour to have that cup on the table tonight, because I know what it is to win the Derby.
Yeah?
To win the Derby is like winning the Lotto.
Yeah?
The very same as winning the Lotto.
Tell us what you won. I know that you have a lot.
The four of us, we bought a dog in 1984.
Yeah.
We bought Swinky Star.
Yeah.
We bought him for 18,000, four of us. And the only reason we bought him was, we had a few dogs and we backed one of them in Limerick, and she got beat half a into, we lost our money. And the boy said, if you drink, I don't drink. But I never drink. But we went into the railway hotel and we said, what happened to the beach? Joe, my brother Joe, said she wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Through the throat. And we decided we'd buy Swinky Star. He had two rounds of the Treasure Stake, won that day in Abbey Field. Next day was the final. He had three more rounds to win. We bought him. But Magner and Tommy Stack bought the dog first. And Mr. Magner, and they turned him up after 3 days. They bought him for 18,000. He had a lump in his leg. He was turned down to beat. And me and Joe, we said we'd buy the dog. But I said I couldn't buy the lead for him. There was a man there, which is Jerome Keen. He was after selling his land. And they were all full of buying him below the hotel. And they had a few drinks. So me and Joe kept him up to it. So we bought the dog. And we got four of us involved, 4,500 each. And we were lucky enough, he won the Derby.
What
1984. He won at Waterford Crystal.
Waterford Crystal. Tom, you're looking at this cup in front of us here
most
now.
Most beautiful.
There was one. Is this, you'll be involved in a lot of wins. Is this unique, this cup?
I never seen anything like it, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah?
I never seen anything like it. What we won was a Waterford Class.
Right.
But this cup was unreal.
Yeah.
And it's great for the O'Connors and for my van, but they should build a monument to that dog above there.
Yeah.
I'll tell the truth.
Yeah.
To win a Derby is only a dream. We won it in 84, there was four of us. We won it in, my brother won it 2 years ago, Joe.
Right. What was the name of your dog that won it again?
Swinky Star. I was involved and we bought him, but my brother Joe's dog won it there 2 years ago, Razor Ashmore.
Yeah.
But I know what the feeling is like.
Does the name Dainty Men still come up, Tom, when you're moving around the grid?
I do when you go to Clanmill.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard, because there's only one Derby winner each year.
Right.
And very seldom they come to Kerry. It's like winning five All-Irelands in a row.
I know, yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. When we come back, we might talk about how many Derbies have come to Kerry, lads. We'll be talking about the history, but we'll be talking more about Dainty Men and where he came from. And I'll be talking to Eddie Steck and John Rahedy. They're also here. I'll be a big crowd in the studio. We're talking about Dainty Men. If you want to email us on 083-300-3300, if you want to text us on 083-300-3300, please do so. Sinead is on sound tonight, and I'm talking to Tom O'Connor, Jerry Brosnan, Robert Nolan, Tim Joe Sheehan, Tom Tom O'Connor, Eddie Stack and John O'Rahilly. We're talking about the great Greyhound Dainty Man who won the did you want to say something, Dan?
Sorry, yeah.
Tom?
The first Greyhound, we bought him in 1969.
Yeah?
We bought a dog for £20. We bought him off a Tom Member in Ballylongford. And we bought a Beecher at Tinner.
Yeah.
And we myself and Joe bought him. We brought him out in the horse and car. We come from the creamery. We got a box off of Mickey Bambury.
Yeah?
A cardboard box. And we read that fall out. We brought him out in the horse and car and we brought him home. The bitch died after a week. We suppose she wouldn't vaccinate it at all. From after rats, I suppose. No, she died.
Yeah.
The dog lived. He broke four track records.
Is that right?
He was sold for £700 to Billy and Kane in Ballylongford.
Yeah.
That was my first dog in 1969.
Yeah.
Then we bought two pups together for £90, 45 each. Like a big man alongside me, a great judge of a dog. Dan Finucane lot of messing him. And he picked him out behind an advert. It was big money. And he bought him and won him with a crooked hind leg.
Yeah.
And he says to me, he says, keep on to him always, don't ever sell him, he said. Keep the dog with the crooked hind leg. Because he said if the right leg was crooked, he said, he'd be no good to you, but the left leg is crooked. He's going to be a great railer, he said, for the track.
Oh, yeah.
Less
and the corners. And the corners, yeah.
And he won the Clayton Love here in Tralee. And I tell you, I bought a car out of him. And I had £400 left after buying the car.
Well, one for a break. The moral of the story is if we're buying a greyhound, make sure he's a crooked leg. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
At Clonmel at the Derby, we saw 64. Some of Ireland's best puppies in action once more. They all came determined to bear home that cup. Though some that we saw fit were hairy old pups. While the fancy ones faded right out of our sight, the Kerry man star shone exceedingly bright, and of 60 and 3, there were none fit to lead that little red dog of the Rattleway breed. When his name was called out, Dainty Man cocked his ear, and as fit as a fiddle, we saw him appear. He walked into slips as if he owned that park. How he wagged his big tail at the slightest remark.
Oh, yes, indeed. Great stuff there by Jerry Brassen. That's the Dainty Man song. And the National Coursing Meeting was inaugurated in 1925. And for the first 5 years, dogs and bitches competed for the National Breeders' Stake. The Derby and the Oaks were inaugurated in 1930. So Dainty Man has a unique place in greyhound history as the winner of the first Coursing Derby, and we have that cup here, that fabulous cup, and the World Rugby Cup is based the very same. It's an identical one of it. Also in studio with me, John O'Rahilly. John, you're very welcome to the program.
Hello, Richie.
John, you did a good bit of background into the history. Give us a little, give our listeners a touch of what you learned about Dainty Man.
Well, I wrote Tom Kelly there in the novel, the Columnist in the Sporting Press back in 95, and he sent me a lovely letter back with a lot of the history of it, like, you know. And
right.
I'd read some extra.
Oh, indeed,
there,
of course.
I do not have to tell you, but the dog was owned by a Tom O'Connor, who was described in contemporary reports as a blacksmith from my van. Dainty Man was a July 1928 whelp, and his breeder was Edward Steck. He was by Rattleway out of Sally Leaf. There were 7 dogs and 3 bitches in this litter. Dainty Man was a fawn and red. A sister, Lively Nancy, we mentioned earlier, was a similar colour, also owned by Mr. O'Connor. In his puppy season, Dainty Man divided the Tarbert Stake of 16 dog puppies in Tarbert, beating by my son, Gravy, and cousin Casey. This meeting took place in January, and later that month, he went on for a tile stake in Abbey Field in Bernard, where he beat Moving Mither, Green Brigade, Cutlass Privates, and Houster. And in fact, today I met Mickey Murphy from Castle Island, and he was telling me that his father owned one of them dogs that were beaten in Abbey Field.
Yeah, of course, Mick Murphy, great greyhound man, isn't
Mickey,
he?
Mickey,
one of the greats.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won. He trained the winner of the Derby 7 times.
Wow.
So the world, it's a record, like.
Wow. Come here, lads, there's a program in that, man.
There is.
Huh? What do you think?
Yes,
do you propose that we bring Mick Murphy in here and do a program with him?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That'd be the right thing to do,
man,
Tom.
Definitely.
Right, work away, John.
So, he went on. The National Coursing Meeting took place in late February, when Dainty Man's victims were All Forlorn, Mount Sansel, Dash and Leather, Shot Shoes, Royal Tom, and he beat Roving Bunty in the final. Incidentally, Lively Nancy had one outing that winter when she divided the Clownbrain Stakes at Newtown Sands, which was it's the same as my van, in December, beating Fern Vale and Fern Penny. In his second season, Dainty Man contested the Irish Cup, which in those days was run in November at Clownenna. He was nominated by T.D. O'Sullivan of Listowel, but was beaten in the first round. However, he did win the Irish Purse, beating Cool Tom, running two byes, beating Malta and Silent Bye. The following month, he ran up the Kingdom Cup, beating Flowery Fort, Rattle Star, Minesweeper, Tabasco, before loading to Ardminster. Dainty Man again challenged for the Irish Cup in November 1931, when he reached the semi-finals. He was beaten by a dog, Benicy, which was owned by Edwin Baxter, who was the very first English track derby at London White City in 1927 with Insry Badge. So that's some of the history.
Lovely. John, how important was it to resurrect that history, and how important is it that we are discussing Dainty Man here tonight? Where does he stand in the annuals of great dogs in this county, and in this country, I should say?
Well, it's very important to have the history, like, because, you know, a lot of that would be lost over the years, like, and Tom Kelly was a great novelist there. He used to have a weekly column there in the Irish Sporting Press, like, and
yeah.
He was delighted that I actually wrote him, like, you know, yeah. He wrote a lovely moving letter, and Dainty Man is, sure, he's the first derby winner, he's...
And I suppose, John, the fact that there's this fabulous cup, which is worth a fortune today, I suppose the fact that that's still here and that he won it, that adds greatly to the mystique of the whole thing, doesn't it?
It does, of course. Yeah. And it's My Van, then, like, you know...
Has the Dainty Man been remembered around My Van, or what a lot of people call it, Newtown Sands?
Well, I suppose the song is the important thing. Like, and a lot of the old people know, like, they remember how there was such a fabulous night on his return from Clonmel. There was such a great party, and... bonfires and everything.
Was there? Eddie Stack is alongside you there. Eddie, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Michelle.
You have been, you're another great greyhound man. Tell us what your involvement has been all your life.
So much lately, though. My father, he was keep dogs all right.
You see?
And Paddy, my brother, Paddy Latimus, and all another all gone.
Yeah.
Weedy Beach Smashing Record was the name. 1947, in the Oaks, to divide that year, to the bad year, to divide it after the second round.
Yeah.
And my brother Paddy was bringing her off the field, and some fella came up now with his cellar.
Yeah.
So he rang my father. My father said not to sell it, to bring her home.
Yeah.
So we took her to Tralee in, and she won two schools in around 31. The time was slow that time. 31 something, which was good time that time. It was years, 1947.
Yeah.
So Paddy Fitzgibbon in this door bought her for £300 that time, which was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we hadn't many more good ones after that.
What do you think of Dainty Man, and what do you think about remembering that great greyhound?
Ah, well, I wouldn't be there that time, like.
I know, but the fact that we are remembering...
it is a great honour for the village and for My Van. Great honour.
Yes. Somebody said there that there should be something erected to that dog up in Newtown Sands.
Tom Connor here, Tom Pye here, he was.
Yeah. Come here, are we talking about Newtown Sands or My Van?
They're all the same, I suppose.
They're all the same. Yes, yeah. But which one do you prefer to use?
My van,
I think, too. Gabriel Fitzmaurice wouldn't like us using Newtown Sands. Tom,
thanks, Fisher.
This photograph, Tom O'Connor, of course, is his granduncle was the man that owned Dainty Man and won the cup. Tom, this photograph you have here in front of us, explain to our listeners what we're looking at.
We have Dan Welsh, which is Robert's uncle. He's the man that started the coursing club in My Van in 1925.
Right.
Which, an uncle of Michal Mara Hertig's. He came up from Dingle in 1925 as a teaching in My Van.
So that's where Michal Mara Hertig got his love for greyhounds.
That's where he probably started now. His uncle, and he actually, they did boarding in Welch's house, and he stayed there. And they started the coursing club in My Van in 1928, I think. It only lasted 3 years, 28, 29 and 30.
Yeah.
And then they joined up with Glynn, as far as I know. But that was Dan Welsh. The next man in the photograph then was Rainey, Tom O'Connor himself. And then you had Mick Mulville, the trainer.
Yeah. Tell us about him.
John was saying about he went to the Sporting Press for a bit of history. Well, I went to Glynn on Monday night while she were on Terrace Talk.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a woman that was 97 years of age, Liza Mulville.
Right.
Mick's sister.
Yeah.
And she remembers the night well that the cup came to my van, came back to my
van. What does she remember about it?
She remembers everybody went wild, and she said, I had a small little drink out of the cup myself, she said.
Yeah. You know, she was out of this cup here?
Out of this cup here.
Yeah.
and she took back a clean shirt back to the village she lived out in the country for Mick to wear when he came back from Clonmel.
Well, isn't that lovely
story?
But
she told me that they kept the dog in the room with him above in Clonmel that night because they had people approach him with money to dope the dog.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't take the money. And even though he was going to America, he needed money, but there was no way he was taking anything for the dog.
Oh, what's this lady's name again?
Liza Mulvihill.
Liza, is she listening tonight?
Hopefully she's listening tonight. And
Liza, if you're listening tonight, I'd put you down in my diary. Maybe I'd love to visit her.
Well, there's no problem, I'd say that.
Is she in good form?
She's in great form, Walter.
Is she? We'll fix that up and we'll call out her some night and do a nice little interview with her.
No problem.
Liza, that's a lovely story, that they kept a greyhound in the bedroom.
They kept a greyhound in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And wouldn't let him out of his sight. But when they came back to my van, they said it was a fantastic week around my van that time.
Yeah.
And they had £350 to spend on.
Yeah.
Plenty of porter and whiskey, I suppose. That
Who else is in this photograph?
The other one is Bill O'Connor. He'd be a nephew of Tom O'Connor's. He'd be Morris's son. Now, they were in Limerick. He lived in Limerick. Now, I'm not sure if he's the man, he worked with the Kerry man here in Tralee, Bill O'Connor.
Yeah.
I was trying to track him down during the week, the O'Connors, because the plate that was won in Clonanna, they won a silver plate as well. They actually have that plate.
Yeah.
Because we ended up with the cup in my father's side of the family, Tom O'Connor, and it's to be handed down. The plate ended up with Morris's down in Limerick. So I'm still on the track of trying to track that down.
Is that right, yeah?
But the other man then is Mikey Joe Enright. Or Daniel Enright, his son and Mike Joe, the pub in my van. Donald is there now, his son Donald, Mike, to be Daniel's grandson. He's about, but he was involved in the greyhounds as well.
Yeah.
And I said, the last dog that we had, when my father died back in 68, like the house used to be full of dogs. But I got to suffer the dogs back then because I was walking them morning, noon and night, greyhounds. I walked them for Dan Welsh, for Cormac O'Leary, and for my father and a Bunty Cathy.
You got to suffer some
of them. Greyhounds, I never again. But when did we the last litter we had, my father who had, we trained a dog, and Tommy Stack bought that dog in 1970, which Mr. Coffey, Tommy Stack.
A great story. Well, we have a photograph here of the Bob Ellis, the Webb Ellis rugby cup, and I'm putting up alongside the cup we have here, and it's an exact replica. Both of them are exactly the same. Now, I got onto the... This was crafted in the jewellers in London.
Yes.
This cup. I got onto the jewellers during the week.
Yes.
And I'm waiting for a response from them in relation to about the cup. They might have some records of who ordered it to be...
But I just got this from the Webb Ellis. It was the Derek Mooney show that sent this back to me.
Yeah, and I got onto the Derek Mooney show too
Derek
about it.
Derek is on holidays.
You're spot on, he's on holidays, yeah.
His team sent this back to me.
Yeah.
And that the trophy, the first... Webb Ellis Cup was in 1906.
Right.
So they reckon the one that was done in 1986 was a replica of the 1906 one.
Well, this cup is probably a replica of the 1906 cup. So
that's what we want to get a bit of history.
Yeah. So you have the 1906 Webb Ellis Cup,
yes.
Then you have this cup, and
yes.
Then you have the present
yes.
World Cup.
That's correct.
So each of them is crafted after the other.
No, I've got information somewhere about that there was five of these cups minted altogether.
Was there?
Where the other two are, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll follow it up.
It's a great story, lads. If you want to email us on 083-300-3300, we'd love to hear from you. We're going for a break. We'll be back again shortly, and we'll have more to talk about greyhounds, and we'll be asking the lads maybe who has won the most derbies in Kerry, how many derbies have come to Kerry, and various other things like that. And so stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
T'was no nickname at all for the dogs all forlorn, for the chances of victory to pieces were torn. Take him home, Granny shouted, and give him a feed. He's no match for my dog of the Rattleway breed. Three cheers for Tom Connor to give now we must, that his hammer and anvil may never show rust, and that we in the future around Newtown sands see more cunning brushmans and more dainty mans.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you'd listen to the song about Dainty Man, a great song. We're talking about Dainty Man, who won the Derby in 1930. I think that was the year that the late, great Jim Brosnan was born, that particular year. And Jerry Brosnan, of course, is singing that song. Jerry, that song, of course, is off the CD, Songs from the Borough, that I launched for you there just before Christmas.
That's right.
How's it going?
Wouldn't be better.
Is that right?
But we got a great time. We got it out a great time.
You did.
Before Christmas. And she's going all the Christmas presents and she's going all over the world.
I heard there's fierce demand for it in America.
There's fierce demand for it. We're getting it out of every place.
Songs for the Borough. And there's, I know, the 15 or 16 songs in it. Yeah. It was the night of the lunch. I was talking to, lads, I was talking to Jory's wife, Jory Braston's wife. And she said, Jory woke up one morning about 5 o'clock and he jumped up in the bed. He looked and he said to the wife, he says, I'm going to make a CD, he says. And she said to him, Jory, what's a CD? I don't know, he says, but I'm going to make it anyway. and really, it immortalises, Tom, it immortalises the dog, of course, in the CD
it does,
too.
It does.
By the way, the song, The Rattleway Breed, explain to our listeners about the song, is about the Rattleway Breed. What's that?
Well, that's where Dainty Men came from.
Yeah.
The Rattleway, that was the breed that was there before him.
Right.
And he just came on from there, I suppose.
Yeah. Anya, Eileen and Mike Joe Cronin and Tom Maher in my van. Hi, Weeshie. Really enjoying the programme. It's a great honour to the D&T Men's Cup in the Glen Road. And it is indeed, lads. That's from Anya, Eileen, Mike Joe Cronin and Tom Maher. Great programme, Weeshie. Well done. Come on, Deborah and Jory Braston. That's from Jack Hennessy, SD. Great men up there, Jack Hennessy. Robert Nolan, you wanted to say something there about the great winners in Kerry.
I suppose Dainty Men would be the one. And down on the line, there are a lot of good dogs in my van. Really happy, reasonably good dogs. You had the Glen Canal, which was won the Derby.
Yeah.
He was, Comacolier had a hand in him. Dan Welsh. And then you had Satellite Flight, which was owned by Jimmy Jones.
Yeah.
Core Jane.
Yeah.
By Colin Callaghan.
Yeah.
I think Jack won the Rose Tralee. He was owned by Dan Welsh. There were a lot of good dogs. There were a lot of dogs in every house in my van.
Right.
There was a dog nearly in every house in my van.
Yeah. Is it still as popular there?
I would think not.
Yeah.
Things have got tough and the old dogs have got bad. The prices are bad.
Tim Joe, you wanted to say something there?
I haven't much more to say. Only we had a dog, my brother had a dog there, Monarch Tom, and there's a bit of a write-up about him there in that book there.
Right.
And he sold him to Sean Fitzgerald over, and he used to run the St. John's Tavern in Kentish Town. And when he retired, and he won a lot of races over the hurdles now, he was a good hurling dog. And John found him a home and all, and this young couple, and he was asleep at the bottom of the bed, but nothing to do with my brother. He wanted to bring him home to retire him at home.
Yeah.
But he was only home a week, and he lifted him out on the road, and he got killed.
How long were you in England, Tim?
34 years.
34 years. Yeah. And is the interest in the dogs where you were just as great as it is over there? Would there be many Irish dogs? Any Irish dogs?
I would be involved in the tracks. There was a lot of tracks around London then, but a lot of them are closed down now at the moment, you know.
Is that right? Yeah.
Walthamstow was the main place then, and that's closed down.
Yeah.
They tried to get it back again, but...
There used to be a dog racing in Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Crystal Palace and Haringey.
Tom O'Connor, you wanted to say something there?
Yeah. My son Patrick now is training. Patrick, I don't train him. I give him a hand, but I don't know to him. But Patrick is training now.
Yeah?
He's trying to make a living out of them. They were good there 2 years. It was easy to make a living 2 years ago, but things are not as good with the greyhounds at the moment.
Yeah, that's what the lads were saying there, yeah.
You need look, but it's hard to sell dogs now, unless you have the top natural. You need the tops.
Yeah.
We're doing fairly well now. Patrick is doing fairly well. He got trainer of the year in Tralee this year.
Right.
And his tint in Ireland.
Yeah.
Which is a good honour. Like, it's a great lift for him.
Yeah.
But you have to get the dog. It's easy training if you get the dog.
I know, yeah.
But you have to put the work into him. You have to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And put the feeding into him.
Yeah.
Injuries are the problem with dogs.
Yeah.
The faster they are, the quicker they fall. The slow fella will come back to the same every day. He could run down the road and he'll come back to him. But the good dog is like a good athlete. He'll pull a muscle. He'll get hurted.
Who's the best dog in Kerry now at the moment?
The best dog, Mickey Murphy. He had great dogs. Mickey Murphy won a good few derbies. He trained. He was a great trainer, Mickey Murphy. He was the best. Mickey Murphy was the best trainer.
What had he, Tom, now that would make him the best? What makes a great trainer, great dog trainer?
He was an athlete himself, first of all.
Yeah.
Mickey was an athlete. He trained six or seven derby winners. Seven derby winners, which is an honour.
That's an Irish record, isn't it?
Patrick Trans, if he was well there for Norrie McManus, JP's wife. JP's wife is good to him, Norrie McManus. We trained 8 dogs for her. Patrick trains 8 for her. But Mickey Murphy was a great trainer. But you have to get the dog to like the footballer. You have to breed him, rare him. But you have to be lucky. And I always put some holy water on him when they're running. I do always, yeah. Always on him. They never go out to the track. They never go out to the track. I never let a dog into the car. We don't put holy water on him. Some people might laugh at it. I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't laugh at it.
I believe in it.
I wouldn't laugh at it. Why wouldn't you?
There's no weight in it. Yeah. There's no weight in it. Don't put no weight on their back.
No. You're right. Yeah.
I have results got out of it.
And who's to say it's not doing well?
It is doing well. Yeah. I believe in holy water.
Good stuff, yeah.
I think which was a great thing as well, that the coursing dogs were muzzled. It was a great thing not to be killing hares.
Yeah.
Like we'd have 60 or 70 dogs. He's training 25 and he's riding. I never give a hare to a dog in 40 years. I wouldn't give a killer hare with no dog. People might think it. I wouldn't kill a hare. I think it's wrong killing hares.
How long is the muzzling? You know? Not that long, is
it? Long. It was the best thing the ICC did.
Yeah.
They did a lot of bad things. Yeah. But this was one good thing they did.
Is he Stack? You wanted to say something there?
I think we're very lucky to have Tom Parr with us. He's a very knowledgeable man about dogs.
Yeah.
And he has trained a lot of winners. And Jerry and Tom and all, I think it was a lovely night. It was a great honour to be here. With this lovely cup tonight, great to be here.
It is great to be here, and it is a great honour for me to have you all. Jerry, you wanted to say something there?
We were asking there about the dogs in my van.
Yeah.
But the two men, Dan Welsh, was the main man that ever do anything about dogs in my van from the start. He was the main man the whole time with the dogs. And Cormac O'Leary then came on, and he got into the dogs on account of Dan. He was staying with Dan above in the house, our kind of related, and Cormac was there, and so that Cormac got on the dogs in for Saint the Brown. He was in Bournegong, I think. He'd gone very high in the dogs. Which was Dan, that kept the whole dogs in my van at that time.
Are the dogs the football more important than my van?
When Cormac done the football as well then.
Which is more important, Jerry, the dogs or the football?
Dogs and the football.
Don't be ducking and dodging. You see, he won't answer the question.
But Cormac then got into the Kerry supporters. He made the Kerry supporters. And then he made the songs for the CD. It was him that made four of the songs.
Beautiful songs.
So he had the dogs and he had the football.
Tom, before we go for a break, and we'll be talking to John and yourself when we come back, your two of your sons, how many sons have you?
I have four sons.
The four sons. Who are the two boys with you here tonight, taking the photographs?
Michael and Brian with me.
Michael and Brian, the two boys taking
that's
the photographs.
The captains of my van football team.
Is that right? How are you doing, lads? Great to have you. Great to have you. And who are the other two boys then?
I have Tony and Richard.
Tony
now is Thomas Anthony.
And listen to me.
But that man tonight, he's actually doing a job. He's an equine artist.
Yeah.
And he's doing paintings for the Thoroughbred. It's on the end of the month, Thoroughbred Association, the award night. And he's actually doing the paintings. That's going to be awarded. He's 34.
An equine artist?
Yes. He was often on with Deirdre Welsh.
Deirdre Welsh, yeah.
Yeah, she interviewed him a couple times here, not Dee.
Oh.
She did. But that's why he couldn't be with us tonight. He's very busy, and he's got he's turned out for the 28th of January.
Great stuff. Lads, I'm learning more and more tonight than I've learned in all of night, today.
The proceeds of the CD did make a good few pound for Crumlin, and we are to be very thankful for the people that bought him.
Lovely stuff.
Just for a good cause.
If you want a good CD, Songs for the Borough, stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
In conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Now the cradle of coursing is fame very duff, and in Tommy O'Skinnell's you'll find the right stuff. He's a sportsman 1,000 times over indeed. It was famous for years in the O'Sullivan breed. And our hats with emotion were ready to bleed when the Derby was won by the Rattleway breed.
Yes, indeed, you've been listening to Jerry Brosnan there singing the song about Dainty Man, the dog that we're remembering here tonight, who won the Derby way back in 1930 and won that wonderful, beautiful cup that we have here in front of us. John O'Rahilly, John, you wanted to say something there?
Yes, I was just going to say, like, you know, what a marvellous achievement this is to win a Derby, not a mine, to win a trial stake. We used to keep a few dogs at home there one time. My father used to dogs, one dog was Rippling Rhythm. We were in partnership with a Czech, Nady O'Connor from Dingle, Atmison. And he won a few races in Cashline in the course. And my brother then in the latter years, he won a trial stick there in Lickshnair, and he went on to qualify in Clanmead, which saved the bacon, but unfortunately he was beaten the first round. But I just saying, like, it was a great achievement to be in Clanmead that day, like, you know, just for the sake of just to get there, like, you know, not a mind, dirty man, to win a trial stick and win the Derby after that.
But you know, John, was it your light to be just to be there? I was down in South Kerry on Christmas Eve to see St Mary's winning the South Kerry Championship.
Oh, yeah,
why did I go down? Well, we were doing it live. But was Radio Kerry were doing it live, Gary O'Sullivan and myself. But it was great to be there to see Maurice Fitzgerald at 42 years of age playing midfield and playing a blinder. He was very near man of the match. He was absolutely outstanding. Tom, I'm looking at the cup there. It's shining bright and glassy. There's a great shine in that cup. It looks to me as if somebody was working in that cup.
Well, I suppose we better say thank you to my wife, Margaret, for spending an hour at that this evening.
Margaret, you're a lady. Well done. It's shine. I can see. Do you know what? You can nearly shave in that
you
cup.
You couldn't it this evening. She did a good job.
See, Margaret, you did a great job. Come here, are you heading off for Australia?
I am, with the help of God. In 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, we're heading off for...
But it's only a holiday, though.
Only a holiday.
Anyway, you want
and
to say...
And I want to say hello to my daughter, Yvonne, that's out there, and I'm sure she's listening this evening.
She's listening.
And there's another man I got born this evening, and he would be a grandnephew of Tom O'Connor, Granny, that owned the dog, is a Mike Scanlon.
Yeah.
And he's out in Victoria, in Australia, and hopefully he's tuned in this evening. Right. He's trying to get tuned in, and he's the same relation to the Dainty Man as Tom O'Connor as I am.
I want to say hello to Father Brick up now, Kerry lads, a great, great greyhound man. What did he win?
He won the Oaks, yeah.
Another man I want to say hello to is listening out in Colorado is Alan Groke, my van man. And Alan Groke is the man who looks after the Terrace Talk website. And Alan Groke does great work. If you want to check the website at terracetalk.com, all of these photographs will be up in it. Mike is going to send them to Alan. All the story, Dainty Man, is going to be preserved forevermore now up there. And of course, Jerry, your daughter, Geraldine, did tremendous work and we're bringing out that CD. And Geraldine and all the family, when we want to say well done to you. You wanted to say something there, Tom.
We have a new record which goes to Clanmail with the last 24 years of busload of us. Every year. We never miss a year.
Yeah.
And we called down to... But we decided one day coming down on the bus 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that we'd buy a dog, the whole lot of us. And inside in the bus, we bought the dog. We knew what we bought the dog, and it was so much, and we were going to get a trainer and get him ready for Clanmail, and we named the dog as well, and the dog was called Half Cut.
Half
Cut. he didn't do any good.
Tom, you wanted to say something there about Dainty Man.
He finished up, as I said, he was put to stud.
Yeah.
There was nothing much came out of him, but he died in 1936.
Where was he buried?
I think you were out in my van the night launching the DVD, the CD, and outside the wall of the Marion Hall where you were on stage. The dog is buried there. That's
right?
The O'Connor house there next door to the Marion Hall.
You were telling me that,
that's where he came from, and that's where he finished up.
Yeah. It was an amazing how this programme came about, because I was launching the CD outside that night, and I saw Tom sitting down in front of me, and someone said, that's the man with who has the Dainty Man Cup. And next thing we clicked. You want to say something there? Idiot.
The busload never came home the same day they went out with you.
I remember going with a busload of patients from the mental hospital to match up in Clanmel one time, and there was 42 in it, and they wanted to go for a drink, and we stopped in a small pub on the side of the road, and 42 fellas went in, and there was an old man behind the counter, and I said, 42 pints of Guinness there, sir. He didn't have enough glasses, and he had to go out to the pub down the road and get glasses. Did anyone want to say...
I would like to say hello to my daughter out the Australia.
Lovely.
And to my wife, Speedy.
Yeah.
My van.
Lovely. Anyone else want to say anything? Right.
I want to say hello to the...
Tom.
All my staff for the dogs.
Yeah.
Keep working hard, let him know. Sinead, she's on the nursing here in Slea. And Eric, Patrick, Tommy... John Josvin and Kieran. Kieran is a dog in Clanmail this year, and the best looked him. I hope he runs well for him.
Lovely stuff.
His name is Hunter's Glory.
Lovely stuff.
And say hello to my wife, Chris.
Lovely.
I better thank Molly as well. Molly in the bar in my van, for selling all the CDs for us. So I wish we should have been never getting rid of our CDs.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of history, Tom, out of a book that you brought in with you tonight.
Yes, it's a great book. It was produced by, I think, Arne Cronin and Dan Keane back in 2000. It was a millennium book. The Borough and the Cross is the name of it. And there's some fantastic stories in it. Yeah.
So finishing up now, Tom, what has the Dainty Man story meant to you? What has it meant to you to have this cup in the Connor position all those years?
Well, I suppose, first of all, the amount of people that have come from overseas to look at the cup, from the States, and they've come, but I've always been missing, and my wife that has to put up, when she doesn't, she wouldn't know these people from Adam that come to call. They said they're relations and they want to see the cup that Dainty Man won.
Yeah.
So she has to bring him in.
That is a fabulous cup. Listen to me, we're finishing up. Sinead is on sound tonight, doing a great job, as always. I'll be back Monday night with Terrace Talk, and the big interview Monday night with Marcus O'Sullivan, a man who ran for Ireland in 4 Olympic Games. He ran under 4 minutes on 100 occasions. He was in Killarney for Christmas, and I got a special interview. Don't miss the big interview with the great legendary Marcus O'Sullivan. He's the top coach out in Villanova University now out in America. He's the only Irishman to be the coaching a university in America. Don't miss that, and lots more. And we'll be talking about Jack Higgins, the great Kildare footballer. So I was talking to Tom O'Connor, Jerry Broxton, Robert Nolan, Tim Joe Sheehan, Tom O'Connor, Sal Teen, Eddie Stack and John O'Rahilly, and Tom's two sons were also with us there. Lads, it was great having you. Dainty Man, what a wonderful greyhound he was. It was great to remember him, and do you know what makes it the best of all? He was a Kerry greyhound. And what makes it better than that? He was a My Van greyhound. And a Newtown Sand. Thanks, Tom, for all your help. And to your two sons in the corner there for doing all the work. And I'll be back Monday night with Terrace Talk again. Don't miss that. So for you, the listener out there, thanks for listening and all the best.